Welcome to the Diesel Podcast, episode number 8. We are your hosts. I am Brent Warner.
And I'm Michelle Reyes.
So today we have a special guest, Carol Salva. Carol, how are you?
I'm so great. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. So Carol, we're bringing you in right away. So this is our first interview for the show. We've been doing the other format for a few months, and we thought we'd mix it up and do some interviews and for 2020. So we're really happy to have you, but we don't have any structure for interviewing you.
That's my favorite, Brent.
Yeah, we're bringing you right in at the beginning. We do have our introductions, but if you want to jump in and say anything at any point, we'll just kind of consider you a co-host, I guess, right?
Cool.
But we do have questions for you that we want to focus on you as well.
Yeah, I'm honored. Let's do it.
Okay, so today, Michelle, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm still, by the time everyone's listening, we're halfway through 20, no, not what? Halfway through 2020, we're halfway through the month. We're halfway through the first month of 2020.
Right.
And hope everyone's doing well. Today, we have a review, of our reviews, and this is by SW Aquavon. I hope I'm saying this correctly.
I know this person.
Yes, you're Aquavon. Okay. Aquavon. And this person writes, love the Diesel Podcast. It is relevant, practical topics and useful current resources and ideas you can put to work in your class right away. Well-organized content with good flow. Great chemistry between the hosts. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that's actually, so I will point out that's a colleague of mine, and it's Susan. Mm. Susan, is awesome. So Susan does of really cool stuff too on our campus. And I'm very happy to work with Susan. She sends like these really nice, encouraging things to me all the time. Like you're like, oh, it's so great what you're doing. And it's like, oh,
you need always people feel like great. That.
Yeah. So
we all need that.
Yeah. It's nice to have a colleague like that, right? Like, you know, someone who really supports what you're doing and cares and shows. I mean, a lot of my colleagues do care and support what I'm doing. So not to single anyone else out, but thank you for this review. So Susan is going to get one of our super fancy pins. Michelle, I will get this one to her. So okay. I'll make sure that
You've got the shipping down.
I don't have to pay for the shipping. I'll make sure that Susan gets that.
Yes.
But we do have the fancy pins. So if you drop a review, these are the one of a kind pins, limited edition. And so thank you, Susan, for that.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Where, if somebody hears this podcast, like if I share it or they drop it in the middle of it, where would you leave a review? Where's the best place for folks? Because I want one of those pens, just FYI.
Well,
I'm going to leave a review, but also anybody listening for sure.
Well, number one, you're getting a pin.
Special.
Okay. That's fantastic. I just one last thing to say about that is if people are sitting there listening and you enjoy something like this, it's so important to share it. Reviews are so important because it gives the show more reach, and we know how much help English learners need. And so there is a way that you can help more English learners. I mean, it's just going to make the show more visible. And so, thank you for you guys for doing the show, period. And for anybody leaving a review or sharing it, I'm inspired.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to reach as many people as possible because we looked for a podcast like this, couldn't find one. So here we
go. Exactly. I'm so thrilled
that you are.
That's right. Okay. Awesome.
So Carol, we want to give you a proper introduction. you're already jumping right in and it's natural, but we want to make sure that people know who you are. And I think everybody does know who you are,
but I don't know.
Carol Salva, co-author of Boosting Achievement, Reaching Students with Interrupted or Minimal Education, and the host of the Boosting Achievement podcast. You've got tons of stuff, Carol. I can't possibly keep up with all the things you're doing.
She's hashtag goals for us.
There's so much. Really, it's like, oh, okay. Like Carol's got this going on and this going on. It's like I'll try to keep up with a couple of those things.
Yeah, but they're very, very nice. But for everybody listening, people do say that a lot. It's super interesting. People are like, how are you doing it all? And The answer is not very well. And I mean,
hey, I know that
feeling. I really, truly feel like there are too many balls in the air. And you know, when you have too many balls in the air, balls start dropping, right? I am literally dropping balls left and right. And people are giving me grace. And it's a learning. It's a learning thing. Of course, you have to learn to say no. You have to learn to scale back. You have, and I have trouble with that. Right. And so, you know, right now I do have that. I'm super grateful to Anna Mattis. She is a co-author who helped me write the book, the Boosting Achievement book. So that's one thing, is like, I didn't write that book while I was teaching, sitting down every night, physically writing a book. Mm-hmm. I was blogging. And a lot of teachers do blog for reflection, right? Same reason we would do a podcast, like it helps you learn, reflect. So Anna had tons of material from my blog in the form of a narrative. Mm-hmm. And then Anna was an ESL teacher also. So when they came in to see what I was doing, not everything was working. And that's also a place where you got to get comfortable with, we're all learning. We're trying to get better at something, and those things make for a good book too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Right. So the book is half narrative from blogs and things and reflections, and half expository, or here's an issue we had, and here are the research-based things that finally happened that worked. And then the fact that I was at the time trying to get my head around kids that had interruptions and in education or minimal education, limited mm-hmm. education in secondary, I was filming a lot of it. A teacher, two different people told me, mm-hmm. film yourself and you can become a better coach. So there's an ed tech thing right there, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure. So it's unnerving. It's unnerving, but I'm very grateful to Joseph Maurer, who was the teacher who came in to watch me, gave me some coaching. He's a master teacher, but also said, film yourself and then you'll get better. Don't look at everything. You'll hate all of it. Just look at one thing that you're trying to get better at and don't even need to share it with anybody. A guy named Curtis George was an AP an instructional coach. And he's the one that said, you don't need to share that tape with me. You don't need to share it with anybody until you get to where you can't get any better about that one thing. Then bring it to me and I might be able to give you some tips. I mean, it just was so mind blowing to me that this is the best coach. So the book, I say all that because the book has links to a lot of that video from back then. Mm-hmm. Teachers find that helpful and also freeing. Right. Like it's not perfect teaching. It's not perfect teaching. It's how we were getting better and what ended up working. And there are even some non-examples. Like, don't do this. Look
at that. Well, I think it's great though.
I want to sleep in the front.
Yeah. Cause you see people that you respect and you're like, oh, they're not perfect. Right. They're mistakes.
Right. Right.
And I mean, we'll talk about this in a minute, but the whole, you know, social media thing, it tends to show like people's best sides and all of those things. But it's like,
of course.
But we're all like on most of the time we're doing hopefully a good job and an okay job, but we also have total mess ups and we have rough days and all those things. And so I think it's ironic. And it's reassuring to people to see like, oh, this top level teacher or this person who I listen to for advice also has
kid falling asleep in the front row. And what is she doing about it? And why is he falling asleep?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
So. Literally, that video is on my blog. Because you know, when I came back the next day, I was mortified. And I came back the next day. The whole reason that I did that one little, this is funny because I did that one video because I was already, the book had been published. I was modeling a co-creating text with kids. Like everybody can contribute something. It contribute in your language. Let's use a couple of sentence frames so we get some English out of you. But I'm going to write what you guys say to co-create this big piece of text. And everybody can read it because you guys told me what to write, right? Mm-hmm. So then we're just going to practice phonetics and sight word recognition, but for a really engaging mentor piece of text that we all created. So teachers in Tennessee said, in a PD, I was in Tennessee doing this, modeling it with them. And they're like, but could you show us with kids? And I was still in the classroom. And I was like, yeah, I do this every day. You know, you get cocky. this is my go-to strategy. So that's the day. That's the lesson where this kid fell asleep. And I was filming it for a teacher. And I'm like, dang, I almost, when I got home, Even in the video, you see me go over like, wake up, I'm filming. and he does it. He puts his hoodie over his head and puts his hoodie on the floor.
So dedicated to sleep.
Maybe he feels sick today. Okay. Later in reflection, you can see things you don't see in the moment. And I was talking way too long. I was just, I mean, that's just what it was. But it's in May, so more kids can speak to me in English. So I felt like there was all this engagement. Right. But when you're that kid, that specific kid was way higher than the rest of the kids. So the fact that I didn't let them turn and talk more was the issue, because I came back the next day. I didn't throw the tape away. I came back the next day. I apologized to that kid. And I said, we're going to try this again, but I'm going to let you guys speak a lot more than me. So we're going to stop every once in a while. You're going to talk. I don't care what language. And then we're going to do this co-create a piece of text again. It's incredible how engaged that kid is.
That's how interesting is that?
Well, that's the thing that you say, that it's good to see someone else who's going through that, or someone that we look up to, because we're all on this journey to find our best teacher, our best own teacher.
Self,
yes.
Right?
And when you see someone else encounter a similar situation that you're having struggles with, it just helps you feel like, okay,
failure is okay.
That's exactly right.
First attempt in learning, right? Be willing to embrace your own mistakes and learn from those.
Yeah,
for sure.
And the tech involved. I agree with you guys. Embrace your mistakes. Even if you don't really deep in your heart, say it. Say it and move forward like you do, and you will eventually. And tech can amp up all of this. I mean, even just in derailed and talking about this for a moment, tech was a big part of how I got better with those kids in that one lesson, and now how I coach, even what we're doing, this reflection that we're doing, right?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Right. So, I mean, imagine if all of us had captured that first day of teaching, our very first day of teaching, and we could go back and look. Right, we're just glad we didn't grow up where we had everything recorded.
It's true, but you do have fresh eyes. I do want to lift up the brand new teachers. My sister's a brand new teacher right now, and she calls me in a lot, and it's more affective stuff, right? She's doing some great things, but you don't see that. You just see anything anybody told you that you could improve on. Mm-hmm. And the fresh teacher that walks in, they have fresh eyes, and we don't have fresh eyes anymore, right? I mean, the more you teach. So there's something kind of great about what you believe, what we should all still believe, but you really believe these things when you're brand new. And everybody has something going on great in their classroom. We just don't focus on those things.
So you're quite a connected educator. And I think I started following you from something at ISTE, I don't know, maybe in 2014, somewhere around there.
I presented at ISTE, yes. And I have several times. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's safe to say that with over 13,000 educators plus on Twitter,
yeah,
you're probably one
you.
Of the,
jeez.
Yeah. I wonder why. You're probably one of the most popular ESL focused podcasts out there that you have. But what does being a connected educator mean to you?
It's interesting that you say that because at ISTE, I was listening to people back then. I'm very much about tech, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not a techie person. Tech fails on me every time I try to show anybody something about tech, or I forgot to do this, or I forgot
it's
to do
curse.
That. I know. And so I'm not the most tech savvy person. But if I can use tech and leverage it, anybody can. So that's always my mantra, is that we should all be embracing it, because it doesn't matter how comfortable you are with it. The kids are getting more and more comfortable with it. So you can use it, and everybody can use it in different ways. So I feel that it's the answer for a lot of my students. So being connected, if you're asking, what does it mean to me? It means that I have people in my network that I can share with. I can share things like you guys are in my network and I just shared some real soul bearing stuff. Right. But it's growth. Right. So people that I feel comfortable sharing with and people that I feel comfortable drawing on their funds of knowledge, we all have something. That's why it's ironic. Like I was just saying, the brand new teacher that thinks on their first day that they don't have anything to share is wrong. They have something. Everybody comes with something. And so I want to be connected to that brand new teacher because they have eyes that I don't have. Right. They have a perspective that I don't have.
So, that's what it means. Brent and I are constantly trying to connect with others. And also I think one of the things that draws us to tech and ESL is that there is maybe a fear about either using tech or the tech part where it fails all the time. And then we tend to think, oh, it's failing. So that's a reflection on me. And so we want to encourage others out there and connect with others. And we're constantly trying to promote the idea of being connected outside of your work circle. Because like you said, you can learn so much just from even a brand new teacher with new eyes. And so if people want to be connected, there's so many platforms out there, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, blogging, podcasting, there's just so many choices. Where would you suggest they start?
Well, I often tell people that you don't have to be a Twitter junkie, right? I am one. I'm admittedly, I'm too far. Like before when you asked me how do you do it all? And I'm saying not very well. So how do I find time to be on Twitter? Right. I mean, I just am so addicted.
Twitter is the reason we can't all do it well. Right.
Yeah.
Oh man. But there's so much. The Twitter river can be overwhelming, right? All these things flowing by. But I tell people you don't have to be a Twitter junkie, but I strongly suggest that you have a Twitter junkie in your network and your network might just be the people on your team, physically in your real world. It might be your faculty. It might be you and a couple of friends that you went to school with or whatever, whomever you sit around and talk like we're talking right now. That's your network, right? You've got a network of people that you collaborate with that help you reflect. It might be just one person, but is that person tapping in to the resources that are available out there? And if so, I don't know if you guys know about that book called Too Big to Know. It's a book by a guy named, his name is David Weinberger. David Weinberger wrote a book called Too Big to Know. And he has a quote, maybe you've heard this quote though. David Weinberger says, the smartest person in the room is the room.
Mm-hmm. I have
it's
heard that
never
quote.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. He's talking about being connected, and you know, what's interesting, I've ordered this book and I have not had a chance to read it, but I heard that quote a couple of years ago. I think it was at least a year ago. He was giving a keynote somewhere to administrators and somebody tweeted the quote out. Mm-hmm. So I got that quote from him and it made me reflect before I ever had his book. And I did, I saw it on Twitter, but it made me think like, what does he mean? Like the smartest person in the room is the room. So if the smartest person is not one person, it's the whole group together, right? So you can think about that if you're a teacher. I taught students with limited education. They didn't have English. I thought I knew the most and should talk more because I know the most English. And that's not true. All of us together bring perspective and kids should be heard and you should stop and you should draw on everybody's funds of knowledge. And so the connected piece to me, and I'm sure what he's saying in his book is if the smartest person in the room is the room, why would you not want your room to be the world? Why would I not want to draw on people in California, like you guys, Canada, people in Laos, Tan Nguyen, who's in Vietnam, everybody. I want everybody's perspective in my, or at least I want to draw on it. So I don't have to sit there on Twitter and watch the Twitter river go by, but is there someone in my network that's drawing from it?
Yeah, I love that idea. So you're saying, I mean, when you say, hey, have someone in your network that's a Twitter junkie, that's so cool because like, mean, essentially you're saying, hey, if you don't want to do it, there's definitely someone out there who's curating the good stuff for you already.
Right? They'll be sharing it. Yeah.
Right. You guys are an example. If you just follow this show, you're going to hear things that you guys are culling and gathering, and you're a filter for people.
Right.
Which is fantastic. Another one that I always recommend is Larry Furlazzo.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
So that name resonates with so many people because you don't even ever have to go to social media. You can subscribe to his blog, and Larry Furlazzo, you will get every morning, he has the best things from around the internet. He has the best list of this. He writes for the New York Times. He writes for Education Week. He writes for, and he's still teaching. Mm-hmm, he's still in the classroom. He's phenomenal, of course. So that's what I'm saying. Is Larry in your network?
Yeah.
And if he is, maybe you're good. You know, even that's what I feel like being connected is. It does not mean you have to be as deep into it as the three of us. But where are you getting your information? Where are you getting your new ideas? Where are you getting these things? Like, I got that quote and I thought about it and it made me teach differently.
Yeah. So that made me also think too about like the idea of like lurking, you know, like Twitter lurkers or Instagram lurkers or whatever. And all these people always feel like, hey, I shouldn't be lurking, right? Like I need to be active to be able to do this stuff. And I always say, no. It's totally okay. Just sit and watch and find the people that you like, because in my opinion, it's much more important who you're following than who's following you.
100% 100% agree.
And so once you find that, like, you're like, oh, okay, well, I want to follow Carol and I want to follow Ishelle and I want to follow all these people who are talking about things that I care about, then I can use those ideas and implement them. But it's like, it's not about like, okay, you know, it's nice to have people follow you for sure, of course, and like in some ways it validates that you're presenting something interesting or valuable to some people, but that's not really where I get the value out of it. And so, you know, I really like seeing and creating. Recently, I've been bad about it in the past, but creating lists inside of Twitter like, really, okay, these are the people who are talking about these things that I specifically want to focus on, and these are the people talking about those things, right?
Fantastic. And so
I am really interested in that idea. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the same topic, like lurking versus sharing and versus curating versus creating new things. Like, do you think people feel too much pressure for some of those? Or,
well, it's unfortunate if they do, because I agree, Brent, 100% that lurking, so what we mean is just hanging back and watching it go by, or following a feed.
Yeah, that's a negative word too. I shouldn't even be using
it. Yeah, no, I always use it. I always use it because people know immediately what you mean by that.
Right.
And when I use it, I say it is okay to lurk. It is okay. It's actually, it's great. People are putting content out there for people to engage with it. You don't have to engage with it actively. You might be a passive learner. Mm-hmm. You might be that kind of person that prefers to read, process, or listen, process, and then try something. Isn't that the way a lot of us would start anyway? And so when you're writing a blog, you're hoping hopefully you're doing that for reflection. Hopefully you're doing that for yourself. But also part of that, the reason you're making it public is so that other people might benefit from it. So you think about the people out there, you would hope that there's a bunch of people who are just reading, reflecting, and may never contact you or may never engage or retweet it or whatever, but their kids benefit from that. Mm-hmm. Their students benefit from it. So I feel like that's the magic of the platforms. You know, there are these great Facebook, like advocating for ELLs and just different great Facebook groups too. And you know, there are a lot of people who are just checking it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if I went and bought a book from the bookstore and just read it and used it, what is wrong with that? That's just receptive and it's fine. I think it's great.
I like that. I think one of the things I always tell my ESL students when they're going into university, when they're going into being mainstreamed, I tell them, look, you don't have to, in a 200 people class, you don't have to be the one raising your hand all the time, making the comments. Find the person who does, who's asking all those questions, sit next to that person, and then you're learning from them, because you don't have to be the one always participating.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I think that it's been, there's debate on those learning styles. And mm-hmm. recently research has come out that you don't really have people who are more auditory learners there are still preferences, right?
Right.
I prefer this. Yeah. And so that counts for a lot. Mm-hmm. So when we have this, I talked about John Seidlitz a minute ago, mm-hmm. and he's the guy that he was my boss and he is my boss and he's a super fantastic person to learn from. And a long time ago, I don't know if y'all know that questioning or structured conversation routine called QSSSA, it's QSSSA. Mm-hmm. We can tweet it out and we can put it in the show notes so people can link to it. But it's just a way that you structure conversations in your classroom. Basically, mm-hmm. it's a bundle of things where you ask a question and then you ask kids for a signal when they have their own answer and you give a sentence stem at the same time. Like when you can finish this, when you can say the difference between a democracy and a republic is put your hand down or show me your thumb, right? So it's a question, a signal and a stem come together. And then there's this low stress share. So talk to the person next to you or however you have kids talk. And then the A, QSSSA, the A is that you're randomly going to call for accountability or assess mm-hmm. Who knew what. So it's this protocol, right? The interesting thing about that, and it's super popular, it's been around like 10 years and we have videos on it. The interesting thing is teachers will sometimes, when I model it, say, well, I don't want to talk because we tell them how important it is for students to speak.
Right.
The one, you know, it's so that they can think, you have to think to speak. And teachers will say, I prefer to listen. Some teachers will say that. Mm-hmm. But in that routine I just gave you, the person who prefers to listen got a chance to listen. They do get a chance to listen. They had to listen to the other person. Yeah, so we're trying to show you a technique where everybody is set up for success. But I totally go to what, I just want to honor what Ishel's saying is if you would prefer that, then you're going to learn better because you're comfortable in that. Mm-hmm. And her students that prefer to listen get a chance to listen. It's just, if you need to speak and we want you to speak so that the teacher can walk around and hear what everybody thinks, are we giving them a low stress opportunity to do that? Mm-hmm. Right. One-on-one, something like that. So I'm on board, whatever the learning preferences of your listeners, technology helps us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, inevitably you're going to have the one super shy student who gets really, really, really nervous and, you know, and that was me. I'm an EL and I did exactly the same thing in my biology class and my whatever other class. I needed to sit next to the person that asked all those questions. And
Okay. So I have a quick question. In your biology classroom, if back then they had the tech that we have available to us now, for the super shy student, we know as educators that the person speaking is thinking. Yes, you can think if you don't speak, but how do I know what you're thinking? And how do we make sure you're thinking? And that would be you saying something to somebody because you have to reflect and say something. What kind of tech would have helped you back then?
Oh man, I would have loved to have had one. I think Class Dojo has something where you can type a question and then students can put in either in the group or in pairs. They can start typing in, or you can vote. And I know that Nearpod has like voting on questions, and then you can correct yourself or have a conversation. All we had was the clickers, but we never used the clicker.
Well, we didn't even have those back when that, you know, I'm older than you. So it's what's available now. I know we're talking about connected educators, so we can make the parallels there, but in our classrooms, all of this, I feel like when we talk about connected educators and how we learn and lurking versus not and engaging versus not, it's all parallels to what's happening in this classroom, right? You have just the kind of thing we have, a group of a bunch of teachers and a faculty, let's say, and some want to be heard and some would rather just listen. Same thing in a classroom.
Yeah,
so how are we? what's available.
The microcosm, right?
Yeah. So what's available to those kids now? We have to think about that. If it gives us pause the way we learn, but we have the same kind of things too. Yes, it's okay to lurk, but someday you might feel like sharing something. Are there low stress ways for you to share what you know with other people? And can technology help you get a larger effect in the world?
Yeah. So let's switch over to that, because I think the technology conversation, there's so many things that we can do now. And especially with the idea of, like, we do want to be low stress. We want to be able to have students feel comfortable in doing their work. And some of these things, like some of the techniques or tools that Ishel was mentioning, or things like Flipgrid, I know has been really popular with the ELLs, because they can record and re-record and re-record until they actually feel comfortable about how they sound. So Carol, what technology are you interested in using? Or what do you like to use with your students or help people understand in order to better access and engage their students?
Yeah, it's interesting. So we do, I have a tech for ELs training that I do, and I still use the Boosting Achievement book. It's just once we're going through it, we realize how many things were a win because technology was involved. It's not like we set out to write any kind of tech book, and it's not. In fact, the only things I feel like I need in my classroom is chart paper that's sticky.
Right, right.
Because we co-create so many anchor charts, and the kids can read them immediately, and they read them and reread them, and they start gaining literacy. But another thing that really amped up everybody's learning when we were reflecting was when we connected the kids with other classrooms. When we connected these kids who walk around feeling marginalized because they don't have all the English other students have, you want them to feel like, I'm becoming bilingual. Right. I'm going to be worth two people. But kids don't necessarily feel that way, no matter how much we tell them. So then I was teaching kids who didn't have literacy, who had come from missing education. And then the whole, all the different things that go on with being brand new to a kind of school that you weren't educated like that, if at all educated. And we don't have a newcomer center or anything special where I was teaching. It was just a regular high school. So in middle school, when I was doing middle school, so when we connected kids, we connected the first class we connected with regularly. We didn't know her at the time was Emily Francis. Emily, a lot of people know Emily now, but at the time, Emily was teaching third grade in North Carolina. She was a new-ish teacher. She had a few years under her belt, but she was on Twitter. And I put, if you want to know one of my favorite tech pieces to use, we were using Kahoot. We were using Kahoot, but we were using it in different ways. We had made a selfie Kahoot about ourselves and our holiday traditions.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it was this time of the year, but it wasn't, I don't want to hear about winter traditions. What is your favorite holiday anything? So each kid gave me one and they had to think about distractors, and they had to think about, so there's some test taking stuff in there. So the class made a Kahoot, but it had like Ramadan facts. It had, Children's Day, because there was a kid in there from Japan and all kinds of things. So it was very cool. So we had fun playing it right there, playing it in our classroom, honored everybody. They were super engaged. I could do some choral reading and some test taking strategies and different things with it. But it went to cultural responsiveness and voice and engagement and all, and student centered. They really made this assessment. But when we put it on Twitter, and this teacher, couple, Natalie Cranvenger from Maryland, this is in the Boosting Achievement book. And some teacher named that nobody really knew at the time, except people in her area, her name was Emily Francis, sent me a video of her kids, her third graders, playing our Kahoot. So from my perspective, watching my students watch that video, these marginalized of the marginalized, right? Even the English learners think that our kids, if they could read, these kids, it blew them away to realize what's happening here. Because we talked about it, what's happening is you are contributing to global funds of knowledge. You are That's teaching so cool. you know mm-hmm. things that other people don't know. And we watched her kids read, like we sent old school letters back and forth mm-hmm. and it's compelling text. It's more than high interest. They're compelled to write it and they're compelled to read these things. And we watched her kids learning to read in English a little bit from another video she sent us with our letters. So the I mean, yeah, this is just like off the charts. Again, it wasn't something that I thought about in the moment. It was the reflection. The reason I have the video is because I was watching what's working, what's not working.
Right.
And this worked in a big way. So Emily and I struck up a friendship and she came down to Texas to present with us. And in the middle of all of this, the book came out. We showed her students as a class we connected with, and she wrote me and Tan Nguyen. If you follow Tan, mm-hmm. ELL mm-hmm. classroom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tan and I were already doing some stuff together. Emily is at Emily Fran ESL, and mm-hmm. Tan is at Tan ELL classroom. She wrote me and Tan, and she sent us her first blog post. And she said, I'm thinking about publishing this. What do you think? This is my story. And for listeners, if you don't know Emily Francis's story, holy smokes, get it. We will put it in the, because that is alone. That's a compelling piece of text. She came to the country much like a lot of my students. She had missed years because just her life experiences in Guatemala, the school only went through sixth grade, but she came mm-hmm. in high school and she went through a lot of challenges and look at her now. I mean, mm-hmm. She's one of the Fab Five teachers on the Teaching Channel for ELLs. Yeah, I mean, anyway, yeah. All of this is tech, right?
Right.
All of this is tech.
That's the big thing, though, is like we talk about this stuff and it's like so cool, but there's still my issue is that there's so many teachers that are just kind of like, oh, do things the old fashioned way and don't realize that when a student sees something big like that, like, hey, we're connected to people across the country or across the world, or, you know, like what I do, you know, when we're reading books, I try to find authors ideally that are online. And so like we can tweet out to that author and
they'll tweet back.
And they tweet yes. back. Yeah. So like we're doing Funny in Farsi and Ferduza Dumas, she actually responds back and encourages students.
Oh my God,
when
how
she
great,
sees their,
Brett.
You know, so those types of things, to the ability to reach out to the actual resources and mm-hmm. to talk to them and see what's going on. It's like, oh, it makes such a big difference for the students to really see that they're contributing and that they're being heard. And it's not just like a false setup in the classroom, you know,
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
But it goes way beyond that and it helps other people too. And, you know, in the case of Funny in Farsi, you know, we're reading her book and we're saying, hey, well, this is what we're learning from you. And I think that goes to spread beyond and beyond. So.
And her, okay. So I, even if you look at it from the perspective of the author, the reason she's connecting with you, of course she's honored, of course, but I'll tell you, anybody that connects with me about the book, they have a perspective I don't have.
Sure.
They have student, they have anything they tell me, I'm going to walk away better from what those students say or what the people say about the work. They better the work. Mm-hmm. So you're truly mm-hmm. contributing to the author's, you're enriching the author when you do that. And if you talk to your kids about that and it's very authentic, you know, what if you wrote a book and what if people who read your books reached out to you? Do you think that would make you a better author, better perspective, better everything? Mm-hmm. Of course it would. So we're helping the world when we do these things. Mm-hmm. Those are the things too, you know, you mentioned ISTE at the beginning, mm-hmm. Michelle, and mm-hmm. I feel like that's when I started to get a lot better at tech, not more proficient tech savvy, because mm-hmm. I'm still bumbling with everything. But better at how I use it. So mm-hmm. we do this training, this Tech for L's training I was telling you guys about, and we really don't focus on any particular piece of technology because mm-hmm. it doesn't need to be this. There are more than one app. There exists more than one app for any particular thing or platform or anything, you know. And they're going to change, you know, they're going to change mm-hmm. and new things are going to come on the scene.
It's about understanding the fundamentals, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What are the ISTE standards? And ISTE, if people who are listening don't know, the International Society for Technology and Education, they have mm-hmm. standards for how mm-hmm. we're supposed to be using technology. So we kind of take those. We take the student ISTE standards about digital citizenship and contributing to global funds of knowledge and student-centered and, you know, What are we building curiosity? What are we doing with technology? Mm-hmm. And then we layer in ESL stuff, right? So is it culturally, is it helping? Look at that Kahoot with Emily, that was culturally responsive. Mm-hmm. And technology helped us be, and helped lower the affective filter, because we didn't try to do this with kids in our building down the hall where they had high stress. We put it out into the world where they weren't worried about, they're totally fine connecting with other classrooms in the world. They didn't want to connect with the class down the hall. Because, I mean, you know, they're teenagers.
Yeah, sure, of course. Sure.
It's fascinating. So how are we using technology? We're looking at how we're using it, and we have this 5 keys. And I'm happy to share with you guys the rubric that we use with that training. But it is, does it build language? You know, like Google Translate builds language, maybe it'll help you level the playing field in biology or anywhere, and helps you build English. But then there's these other things. Is it culturally responsive? Is it student-centered? Is it, does it allow the kids to contribute to global funds of knowledge and draw on global funds of knowledge? And then is there an authentic use of the language? And no, activities do not need to hit all five.
Right.
That would be like really crazy. Yeah. Sometimes my kids just need to use Google Translate to understand what's going on in biology. You know, that's fine. It's when you have a big win with technology, let's reflect, how many of these things did we hit? Do we want to do that again? Are we only doing language development? Because if we're only doing language development, language doesn't develop as quickly as when you have kids in this student-centered way, and you're culturally responsive, and you have student voice, and you know?
Right.
So we look at this rubric, and we start going, okay, if my tech fails, so we try to do a mystery Skype, right? Okay, if you don't know what a mystery Skype is.
Yeah, I do.
I know you do. You guys are techies, so you know what mystery Skypes are, but people out there might not know. So a mystery Skype is just when your classroom doesn't know where the other classroom is, and you're going to play 20 questions until they figure it out. So it's all student-centered, right? The kids are doing it. They're coming up with the questions, and it's also there's authentic language use, because they're having to actually practice some English phrases to authentically use them. There's language development, because they got to use their Google Translate if they don't have the, you know, there's all these things, right? There's so many things about it that are fantastic, but our tech failed.
Oh.
So the teacher that we were connecting with, and we built this all at, we couldn't connect. We couldn't connect our Wi-Fi in the building or something. It was just a mess. But here's the thing. We ended up taking out our cell phones and FaceTiming.
Right.
even if we couldn't do FaceTime, could we do voice? Because if you look back at that rubric, what are we trying to do? It's not about Skype or about Google Hangouts or about Zoom. Mm-hmm. It's about connecting kids, being student-centered, being culturally, you know, having the voice, and the connection between the kids was where that magic happens. And so we could still use tech. We just have to realize it's not about the activity. It's about, what are we trying to get to with the activity? And if tech fails, is there any other way we can still connect these classes to do this right now?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a win. We took some pictures, we sent those back and forth later, and we still had a lot of the benefits.
Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned already several people that people should be following, and people that you've actually met in real life because of the connections you've made through technology. But what are some other accounts that teachers that are starting out there, the ones that pop into your head? Because
anyone you leave out should be completely offended that you left them out.
I know. If you ever go, when people are doing that Follow Friday thing, Follow Friday or Give Me Five. I mean, I love those. And I love seeing, and I do pick up people to follow, but I have such a hard time doing that. It's funny because some people say, okay, you have 13,500 followers, but you're also following about 13,000.
Right.
And so, and my sister tells me this all the time. Well,
just
that's
choose
not
your top three amongst those. Yeah.
That's not real followers. That's not real followers, because they just follow people back and they follow you back. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You want your network as big as you can have your network. And then, like you said, maybe you do filters or lists or whatever, but I don't.
As much as possible, you also want to, like, if someone's following you, hopefully they're like in your zone, right?
Right.
Get back at them, right?
Why don't I don't get that. Oh, I only follow these people, but everybody's following me. I think that's impressive, but you're also cutting off a whole bunch of people, like fresh eyes and all kinds of things that you could be getting. So anyway, that's just my perspective. I honor, and I just love anybody that I'm connected with. I love seeing their feeds and things. And so, as far as the top folks, really, I first want to say the first person that's coming to mind is Katie Topple. And the reason Katie Topple is coming to mind, first of all, is because she and Tana and I are connected offline a lot right now about doing, about how we learn, like just this thing that we're talking about right now, self-directed PD. We're talking a lot offline about that right now. And I learn a lot from Katie. And it's interesting because Katie teaches pre-K. And that's a perspective that I do not have. She teaches littles and even a couple of, I think, grades higher than that, but she's early childhood. And then Ton is second language acquisition, but in another part of the world where it's very different than teaching in the States or somewhere. So I love their perspective. You know, these are two people that I'm connected with very closely. And I just feel like it's enriching. So definitely Ton Nguyen, definitely Katie Topple. And another reason the two of them come to mind immediately is because they started ELL Chat Book Club.
Right.
And so I almost suggest to people more the hashtags than the person.
Okay.
ELL Chat is the big right there. ELL Chat. That chat has been going on every Monday night for 10 years. 10 years. It has got some staying power, and Judy Haynes and Karen Nemeth and even Shaylee Santiago, who helps them archive those chats. Of course, you want to follow those people because their chat has been going on every Monday night for 10 years. And so if you type in ELL chat, that's like a basket, right? A hashtag. So you're going to get, and now it's not even every Monday night. It's all week long, any time of day. People use that hashtag to just connect with like-minded people and see what people are saying. So if you want your tweet to get certain amount of people seeing it that don't follow you, or you want to find things, that's a great one. ELL chat. So Katie Topple and Ton took that, you know, we were all participating in that. Their hashtag is similar, but it's different. It's a slow chat that happens over about 5 weeks or so, depending on the length of the book. And they're doing a book club online. So they're the founders of ELL Chat Book Club. And the hashtag is ELL Chat _BK Club. So if you put that in right now, they're doing Breaking Down the Wall. And that is like Andrea Honigsfeld and Tanya Ward Singer and Diane Stair Fenner and some of these huge Corwin authors all came together to write this amazing book. That's what I'm saying. If you follow that hashtag, you're going to immediately be connected to people you want to be following. You're going to see who the authors are and this and that. Great. So definitely, I already said Emily Francis. My top person always, if you're going to just follow one person, I always say Larry Ferlazzo. just because he's written so many books, he's connected. He has us all connected. He's constantly sharing out, here are the top people if you teach English as a foreign language. Here are the top people if you teach newcomers. Here are the top, you know, he's constantly, and here are free resources. He's constantly sharing free resources.
Yeah. Larry Ferlazzo is great.
And now it is time for our fun finds. And Carol, do you have any fun finds for us?
Well, I do. I do. I'm not quite sure if it's okay, but the thing that I think is super powerful, and to me it's fun, is voice ed radio. Now, people can just go to voiced.ca. Just go to that website. It's not spelled. It's voiced.ca. voiced.ca. Voice Ed, that'll take you to Voice Ed Radio. And Voice Ed Radio has education radio 24 hours a day. So when you go there, you just click on the stream and you'll hear a show like this one playing. And it's all education radio 24 hours. But you could also say, you know what, I want to see Carol Salva's Boosting Achievement podcast. I just want that. So you could click on my page and there are podcasts, but there's also blogs there. But it's just the easiest thing. There's an app now. so I can have it on my phone. And it's just, you know, people who start to get, I mean, like, I'm just lurking when I'm listening it, when I'm listening to that. And, but it's education radio in your pocket for each day, and you find new podcasters and find new shows, or you could just zoom in on the one that you want and play that one on demand.
I love
and
that. So it just loops.
I do.
It just loops.
Yeah. Well, there's a programmer, there's a station programmer. And so
it's something coming on all the time, right?
Every day is different there, but you can also look at the lineup if you're on the website and see when shows are coming up. So they're scheduling programming, but there are also live shows and there are call-in shows. It's just like a radio station, but an internet radio station that's all education.
That sounds
that
awesome.
That is cool.
It is. Voice Ed Radio is the hashtag, is Voice Ed Radio. It's actually out of Canada. So you can look at Voice Ed Canada at Voice Ed Canada. But the easiest thing is to go to the website, voiced.ca.
Awesome.
Okay. Awesome. Well, my fun find this week or this month, usually I have techie type things or cosmetic type things. So my fun find.
I always love your cosmetic ones.
I want to hear the cosmetic ones.
So it's winter time and your lips might be getting dry and there's just so many products out there. And I found this Korean lip cream. It's by Apeu. It's APIEU. And it's called Madicassicide. And I'll have to spell that out on the show notes.
Yeah. But
it's a very light lip balm you put on at night. And it's not oily. It's not thick. It just feels like you've got moisturized lips in the morning. So, and it's only like $7. And I love a bargain and I love a good product. So
I love your fun find.
For your dry lips, Brent, please try Apeu Madicassicide.
So you're saying this is a nighttime thing though, right? Like it's
You just leave it overnight, but I put it on anytime because it's so light and you know, girls don't like heavy things on their lips. So
right. I know that's why I'm loving it so much.
Yeah, I got. I'll be open minded to it. I'll see if I can get that into my rotation as well. All right. So mine is a comic. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's called Strange Planet by Nathan Pyle. It's all free on Instagram or whatever else. But he does these like little alien creatures. And they're basically kind of showing how ridiculous and how weird humans are, but they're kind of replacing the words through an alien perspective of it. So, for example, there's this one, and just as a basic example, there's you know, the setup is basically that they're at a dentist's office, and the dentist character comes in and says, "I'm here to scrape your mouth stones," and so it's like all these like weird ways of phrasing what we do all the time, right? And so fresh eyes, right? Just like we were talking about earlier. So he says, you know, the dentist says, "Have you been forcing string? Now we wear the trash necklace," right? Like so, just these like these little kind of. Really clever. Yeah, exactly. It is the fresh eyes, a different way of seeing how we live our world every day. And so he just put out a book, which I wanted to support because I've been enjoying the comic for a while. Nathan Pyle's Strange Planet.
Strange Planet. I'm looking it up right now. Awesome.
There's so many good ones on there too. So thank you so much for listening to the show. If you want to get a one-of-a-kind Diesel pin, show us what you got. You can drop those off reviews in Apple or wherever. We'll be looking all over the place to see where something's coming in. But Carol, where can people find you?
Thank you. The best place to find all things is my blog, and that is salvac.edublogs.org. You'll find the podcast page there, just all the show notes and the links for that. You'll find my blog, you'll find videos, and you'll find links to find me on Twitter. I'm at MS Salvacy on Twitter.
Awesome. And of course, if you're curious about other episodes and this episode, our show notes will be posted at diesel.org.
And you can also find us on Twitter. I am at Brent G. Warner.
And I'm Ishelle at IXY_PIXY. That's at IXY_PIXY.
And the show is also available at Diesel Pod.
And Carol, can you quickly give us your handle?
Yeah, it's MS Salva C. That's where you can find me.
MS Salva C. Great.
I wanted to say, I know y'all are wrapping up, but I just want to say thank you to the two of you for what you're doing here. We need more of this. We need so much more of this. We need to amplify voices, have people reflect. Even if you listen to this show and you're like, she's crazy, that's whatever, you know, whatever. It's an opportunity for you to reflect on your own practice. And so the fact that y'all are doing that and supporting, and nothing's going to change for your English learners or marginalized populations if we don't have people fearlessly going forward like you. So I'm honored to be a guest on your show. I'm going to be a faithful listener.
The first
and
guest.
Helping. What an honor. Honestly, because big things will happen for this show. I'm going to try to suck y'all into Voice Ed Radio with us and everything else. Cool. So thank you. Shukran for tuning in to the Diesel Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
It gives you such empathy as a language learner. Yeah, you're like, sure, oh my God, I know I'm not saying that right. I know I'm not.
But you're trying. That's and that, and a student and a students who speak that language are going to be so grateful for it.
It is sweet when you do. You speak to the heart, right?